Once upon a time in a land long ago, the sun never shone, and all the children dreamed how bright it would be. Surrounded by darkness, it's time to step into the light and make you a star.
I'm probably gonna stick it up like this. We're getting the levels. Okay, we're getting the levels. I want to make sure that.
Right.
But yeah.
This is an actual state of the art.
Yeah.
And we're here today on location. This is one of the most fabulous events that we have had with the radio show that has been now syndicated. Great news. And our Star for the Night kids today are the kids from the Cancer Center, and they're co-hosting as we are interviewing one of our favorite celebrities, who is the host of Entertainment Tonight, Mr. Mark Steines. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm glad to be being a host for the day and showing everybody off my job.
Yeah, and today is one of our kind of premieres of doing something, this radio show in person. You know, we asked you to be on our radio show, and the people at ET and Paramount Studios, and you were just so wonderful, and you said, no, come on out in person. We want to give these kids the best day of their lives in person, and it surely has been.
And I just want to say this. You guys got up early this morning. Some people didn't go to bed last night to make the journey here. I am so honored to know that I'm sitting here with, sleep-deprived individuals who are having the time of their life.
Yeah, and well, it's certainly worth it. And sometimes when you're still, not on the ground, as far as being able to get any sleep, then it makes you even be more in a dream world and have your dreams come true. What do you think, Ty?
I think it's wonderful to come here and meet Mark Steines. He's one of the great person I ever met, and this day has been very great, and I'm enjoying it very much.
Is it true that I'm going to adopt you at the end of the day? Is that right? Is that what's going to happen?
I wish.
It's so easy to fall in love with you, guy. You're a personality larger than life. You're just, it's great to meet all of you, by the way.
Now, why don't you start the interview by saying a little bit about yourself so that the audience can know a little bit more about our Star for the Night kids that are co-hosting, and before you start asking Mark some questions.
So I can tell about my cancer announcer?
No, just talk about who you are and what your interests are. The audience knows that you're from the Cancer Center, but you just are such an extraordinary person, and you've overcome so much, and I think, like Mark said, you're larger than life. Your personality is so extraordinary. You're so alive. You're so beautiful. You're so spiritual. And everybody that's around you loves you. So what do you think makes you this way? Do you think you were born this way? Or do you think maybe just your trials and tribulations have made you this way?
I think I was just blessed.
What an answer.
That's interesting. You know what? It's really wonderful that you said that, because you have had such an uphill battle in your life, yeah? And for you to sit here and say that you feel blessed through all of it. There's so many people that I work with in this town, and I won't name names, who have so many things handed to them on a platter, and they still somehow manage to self-destruct. And to be able to see three young men like you guys here today and realizing on some level the difficulties you faced in your life, and be able to sit here and say you're blessed. To say you're blessed, that is a blessing in itself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he shines, Mark, is the fact that, I think maybe the secret to happiness is appreciation and loving life and looking at the glass being half full instead of half empty. And that is you, T. That is totally you.
What was the most exciting thing about coming here today? What were you really looking forward to?
Everything.
Everything.
Oh,
could you be more vague? Is there anything in particular? Like, were you, do you watch the show? Are you a fan of the show? Do you like, you, were you curious to see how things looked when you got here?
Well, I watch Entertainment Tonight sometimes in my spare time, and I think it's a wonderful show. As a matter of fact, you've been a great character in Entertainment Tonight and a great host, which I like it, and which you make me my number one favorite character.
Wow. That's almost like you read that off of a cue card somewhere. You've been talking to my publicist, haven't you? She's been feeding you some information. Thank you so much, T. It is... But that's what we do, you know, as a host. Our job is to be entertaining and not necessarily become the show, but to help the show move along. And I try to temper some of that personality, because you see on the show, I think you get, probably you guys would agree, that you, the personality that you got to meet today isn't necessarily always the one you get to see on TV. And I have, you know, I have some comedy chops that I like to tap into and play in.
Oh,
the time,
you had us cracking. You had the whole place cracking up.
It's fun. It can be fun. But the show doesn't necessarily, you know, bring that across at times. And there are other times it does. But so.
And he's been doing the show for how long?
I'm not sure.
How many fingers and toes do you have? Plus one.
21 years.
No, well, I guess how many fingers do you have? I set you up wrong. That was my fault. How many fingers do you have?
10.
And plus one?
11 years.
There it is. That was my fault, T.
So, Mark, do you have any brothers and sisters?
I do have. That's a good question. I have one brother who is 2.5 years older than I am. And, you know, we grew up together like your brothers and sisters, all nine of them. We didn't get along. I mean, we got along and we fought, and we, you know, we were both very athletic and we were very competitive with each other. And now none of that seems to matter, because, you know, we're adults and we have our lives that we deal with, and we're just brothers. And I'm so glad and appreciative to have him in my life.
So you only had a brother?
I had one brother. I had no sisters to cope with.
Wow.
Isn't that great? it's like a vacation, isn't
you're,
it?
You're the only one who became famous, huh?
Yes, I guess so. I'm beginning to realize that, yes, I am famous. And it's a little strange, as sitting on my desk is a letter from a cousin of mine who I've never met, who's 11 years old, and telling me how proud she is that I'm, you know, part of the family, and she watches all the time. But I sometimes have difficulty grasping the fact that I'm famous, that I go to work and I do what I do like anybody else. My dad worked at John Deere for 32 years, and, you know, my mom was a homemaker, and if people followed them around with a camera and did what, you know, maybe they'd be famous too for what they do. So really, it's just a job for me. It's just a job that I get to go do, and somehow or another, people get to watch it every day.
But you've had an acting career for a very, very long time. We've seen you in CSI Miami and actually a lot of TV shows for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
This has just been like the big, I don't know, what, the cherry on the sundae to give you stability and have you do something that you're just great at, that is your family and your, you know. A stable thing.
I started studying acting after I felt like my sportscasting career was kind of winding down. The passion that I had for my days as a sportscaster began to dwindle, and I thought, what am I going to do next? What's the next thing in my life? And I started studying Groundlings Improv School. I went there, which is, you know, about improv comedy. And then my teacher there, who, she came to me and she said, I think you should study some dramatic acting. So I studied at a studio in Santa Monica, Joan Baron, D.W. Brown Studio, and studied a Meisner technique, and really thought I was going to pursue acting. And I left my job as a sportscaster with nowhere to go other than going to one audition after the other. And about the time I did that, E.T. came knocking on the door saying, hey, heard you don't have a steady check, you know, and I was like, yeah, and they said, come aboard. And I thought, you know, well, wow, I can't turn my back on this broadcasting career that I worked so hard on, and here's the pinnacle. This is a show that's been on the air. This year will be, we're in our 25th year, 26th in the fall, and I thought, wow, there's a steady gig. Mm-hmm. So I came on board, and it's been 11 years since, and I look around, and I see a lot of people along the way that have grown with me, whether it's characters like Johnny Depp, who's been around since those young years. We're about the same age, and he's had this career. But then I've also seen people who have fallen to the wayside, you know. Not that they're not successful in their own right, but, you know, Ricky Martin, for example, just hit, and he was white hot for so long. And then all of a sudden, he's just kind of off the landscape a little bit. Mm-hmm. Or the guys from NSYNC, and that band, you know, made millions and millions and then just disappeared. And I think, wow, these careers can be so short-lived.
Right, yeah. It seems like there's a time limit on a lot of, I'd say the majority of the careers. So that's excellent for you. I mean, you don't really have to worry too much about being typecast. Because you're kind of like in the broadcasting realm from the beginning, and now it's just bigger and bigger in the in the broadcasting realm, and you can keep going out and doing some of those other, you know, acting positions, and you know, maybe you'll hit some big, huge movie with Johnny. Your buddy, with Johnny
it would
Depp.
Be good. You know, I would love to. Wouldn't it be great to work with people like Johnny Depp or John Travolta is another dear friend. I flew with John on his plane, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm living this. This is how these guys, you know, roll every day. But I will say this, you know, I'm very happy with what I'm doing at ET, and I don't know what it would like to be an actor, never knowing when your next gig would be in your next paycheck living kind of, you really have to know how to manage your life and your money and all of it, because you can't live extravagantly because you just don't know when that fuse is going to burn out. But I do look for those opportunities. It's funny you mentioned CSI, because that's like a CBS opportunity that came up, and Paramount is, and CBS, of course, and Entertainment Tonight is part of the big family, so that was an opportunity that came my way. My first acting gig, I was cast by Oliver Stone for a film called Nixon that he did years ago. And I was still a sportscaster in the business, and I'd shown up on the set, and they said, listen, this is obviously a period piece. It's in the 70s, so you want to let your hair grow a little bit longer. So I had my hair kind of like Adam's here. No, not quite. Not quite that long. And when I got there, I was playing a security guard at the White House, and Oliver walked up to me, and he goes, take your hat off. And I took my hat off. Now, I had let it grow, you know. And he goes, what are you doing with your hair? And I go, well, they told me to let it go get long. He goes, you're a security person at the White House. I want it off. Take it off.
Oh.
And I ended up looking like Ryan here at the buzz cut. And I had to go on TV the next night with this, you know, shaved head. And everybody's like, oh, what happened to your hair? So I'd explain that I was in this movie with Oliver Stone and Nixon. But you know, that's part of the business, you know. It was fun. It's short.
Do you find yourself too busy to actually put the energy into trying to find these other spots?
That's a really good question, because now that I'm a parent, I have two wonderful boys. I have a great relationship with my wife. I mean, we've been married, it'll be 11 years, and in July. You have to manage your time wisely. You have to find those opportunities when you say, listen, this weekend has got to be for my family.
Mm-hmm.
It just has to be, because there's no greater responsibility I will ever have, this show or any other show, than it is being a parent. And I have to be there for my kids. And my wife is really good about saying, the boys really missed you today. They were asking a lot about it. And I just, at that point, I know that I have pushed the envelope a little too far and have been gone or away. I leave Brazil in a couple of weeks. And, you know, they miss Dad. And they're at that age where they want to, you know, my oldest, he's like, I want to drink what Daddy's drinking. So he'll have juice, or he'll have what I'm eating. And he really kind of mocks or mimics me, rather. And I think, you know, that's really important. So I do try to find those times. And but then you got to be diverse. You know, you want to find other opportunities as well.
Right. Yeah, it's a balancing act.
Yeah,
you know,
it really is.
But when you're doing anything with TV and the Hollywood scene, they'll push you until they can't, you know, till you finally say stop, right?
Yeah.
And we have here also Ryan Penny. And Ryan had some great questions that he wanted to ask you in regards to what's coming up with this thing in Costa Rica, did you say, Mark?
Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro, yes.
Yeah, just wondering what you're doing there. I heard it was with CSI.
Yes, doing your research, I see. We are going down to Rio de Janeiro to do behind the scenes with CSI Miami. David Caruso, there's rumors Sofia Milos is going to be back on the show, and we're going to be shooting with them behind the scenes for the premiere. And it'll be great because I've traveled the world. I've logged about 1.5 miles traveling, and I've never been to Brazil or Rio de Janeiro and in South America. So I'm really excited to go.
Aside from ET, what do you think your favorite TV show is?
Wow, that's... I like the way you phrase that. he already has the politics and the business down. Good job. You know what my favorite show is? It's The Office, which is on NBC, and it has Steve Carell in it. I think he's incredibly talented. But I watch a lot of other shows, and I find myself getting hooked on them because I have to watch them for our show. So, I had McFever, I'll admit. I was hooked on American Idol, and I just fell in love with Catherine McPhee. And, of course, Taylor Hicks was a wonderful talent. And I've watched a lot of American Idols. I'm a personal good friend of Mark Burnett, so I've always watched Survivor because I've been seeing that since the beginning. Reality TV, really. I mean, other than, but I just love The Office. I just think it's such a great show.
Do you watch your show?
I have to watch my show, yes. But you know what? I don't watch the show at home. I watch it here when it goes out on the feed because I kind of want my kids to know, they know Daddy's on TV, but I don't want them to grow up knowing all about it. I bring my son to work and he gets to run the cameras and stuff like that. And every once in a while they'll see me and they'll go, "Oh, Daddy," you know, and they'll point to the TV and I'll, "Yeah," and then I'll change it. I want them to have a normal upbringing. I grew up in a very normal Midwest town, and I really want them in this kooky world of, you know, La La Land that you know, we're raising them in. I want them to feel just as grounded and normal as any other kid growing up.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of what we were doing today in our event here was watching you tape the show and being in the control room. And it was just so fascinating and how you get into what you're doing and the family network where everybody, you know, just has a flow. It just flows so greatly. And the what you did today by bringing these kids in and showing them step by step of what you're doing is such a great gift for them to be able to feel a part of this. I wanted to kind of get into as far as the personal side of you and what other interests that you have. You know, as far as it's obvious that you love children and it's obvious that you want to help with children that are underprivileged for what you're doing. I'd like to, before you answer some of this, Mark, I'd like to also let the audience know that a little bit about Ryan. He was too shy to say anything about his personal life and that type of thing, but he has been recognized by the soldiers. He's put together this phenomenal program where him, all by himself, you know, individually, put this program together for our soldiers where he got packages, donated from all over with these like care packages, and over every time he does it, he sends out over 100 full packages for these soldiers, and it's impressed them so much. It's made such a difference, and I just think Ryan is absolutely unbelievable, an unbelievable person that he can have the passion to just start something from beginning to end and follow through with it for such a great cause that has proved to be just so successful and made such an impact.
For me, can I ask Ryan a question about it?
Yes.
How did your interest in, is the military, right? That you're obviously, where did it come from?
I've always wanted to be in the military. It's just something I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then with the packages, I got a Make-A-Wish a while back, and I got a tour at Beale Air Force Base, and the commander there took me around and gave me a VIP tour. And he got stationed over in Iraq, and when I found out about it, I decided to do something back for them, and it was a few years after. So I actually got my family together, and we collected gifts and packages from the community and sent it to them, just to try to give something back to the troops.
That's wonderful. I have found in my years walking the planet that the simple rule is this: you get what you give. And a lot of people try to take, and it's about me, and that equation has never really panned out. Believe me, I've tried it. When you're younger and you're, I want this and I want that. But what I found out is, the more love I give to my kids, the more I get coming back to me, the more that I share with the world and the more I do to help other people, the more help I get coming back at me. And it's just simple. And you can never, it never computes in this plus this equals this. It's like a non-logical math that happens, and you don't know when it's going to show up. You put your time and your energy into something, and there's no promise of that return. It just will show up one day on your doorstep. And obviously, by you getting a chance to go to this military base and then meeting this guy, and then all of a sudden you're so overwhelmed and you want to do something, you give it back, and it's a lesson I learned, and I don't stray from it.
What other things are you passionate about, Mark?
Hammers and saws. I like to build things. I know this is a little bit off of the beaten path, but I do. I grew up with my dad and my mother and my father were farmers, and when they were younger, and then they moved to the city and started a family. But my dad was always good with his hands, so he taught me a lot of stuff. And then I realized as I got into this business, and kind of you go through those rebellious years as a teen, and you kind of want to shun everything your parents ever taught you. And as I get older, I realize, I learned so much from them. And then when I was doing this business, I realized what I do, I push a button or it's on your TV, it's zapped off to Mars. I don't know where the signal goes, but it's out into space. If you happen to not be home from 7 to 7:30 in Los Angeles or wherever you may be, or you look away because something grabs your attention, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you recorded it, maybe it's there and we're having that technology. But for the most part, it is. It's off into outer space and there's nothing tangible to even hold. I can't show you this is my work, if I don't have a TV, or if I drive by a hotel and go, I put all the windows in those during my summer in college. And that hotel still exists in my hometown. And I take a lot of pride in that. And so I build things. And currently I'm working on a remodeling project for my mother and father-in-law of a house that we bought for them, and I just love it. Foundation, and it so reflects life. I mean, everything has to be all the things I learned in school, math, geometry, all the angles and the math that goes along with it, to knowing you cannot build a sound house or a sound life without a good foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a good, strong foundation, and everything is square, and your life is all put together correctly, you'll be able to have an incredible life.
I love how your passion also can be implemented with working with your family, because when you're building and you're creating, you can do it with your family and for your family.
Yeah.
And I love that.
My wife is a little nervous that I already have my kids playing with the drills and stuff like power drill. I don't let them do the saw stuff. I don't need the lost digits, but they're always wanting to drill something or hammer something. And
let
them go. I'm to the point where I'm confident enough I can pretty much fix it if they break it. So mm-hmm. There's a hole in the drywall, I can patch it.
Yeah, it was so cute. My dad helped build his house when my daughter was 2 years old, and he actually made a little pocket with her diaper, and she held the nails, and so she would hand him the nails, and we have pictures, so she felt like she helped build the house, just a little thing such as having them hand the nails, you're involving them. And it's a loving, giving thing that you're doing together as a family. I just love it. And Adam, I bet you have some rocking questions for Mark.
Oh, I got all kinds. I want to start out by saying thank you, Mark Steins, because, you didn't have to do any of this stuff. And here you are sitting today with three kids, fulfilling dreams and doing stuff like that. Yeah. And that's pretty cool.
It is an honor for me to meet people who really are at their core survivors and fighters, and that I don't get to meet those individuals. I get to meet other individuals sometimes. So anyway,
I want to start out with a question I've kind of been wondering watching you today on set, is that you have a job where your talent for ET, so your job is literally, like you were showing me places where you stand, and you look into all different kinds of cameras, and that's your job. So how is it when you go to a show where, like CSI, where your job is not to look in the camera?
Oh, you mean like acting, not to address the camera?
Right. Is that hard to go back and forth?
You know what it is? It is because I'm so used to looking dead into the camera,
right.
And actors are completely opposite of that. They always are. They don't. They, it's like the camera is eavesdropping in, and that's really the shift, the mind shift. That's a really good question, mm-hmm. because you have to forget it's even there. Where as a host, I should never forget the camera's there. Right. I always want to include the audience. So if I'm talking to somebody, I'm like, I want to find out how, and I'm addressing the camera and bringing the audience in on it. So, you know, it's interesting to try to do the balance between the two.
And actually, for most actors, for them to look directly into a camera is probably just as challenging as you to get out of that habit, because I mean, it's such an intimate thing, and to stare and really do eye contact, that must have taken you years to be able to have that kind of talent to do that.
Well, there is a saying that says the camera doesn't blink,
mm-hmm.
and it really doesn't. It will catch every flaw that you have. I mean, it stares at you, and you have to, if you have any little idiosyncrasies that pop up, or any little tweak, or if there's a word you can't quite say, and you get to it, and next thing you go, why'd my eyebrow go up like that when I tried to say this, or why does my lip do that, you know, every flaw shows up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I learned a lot about self-confidence and poise.
Did you take a lot of training classes for this way back even before you started your broadcasting career?
I think the greatest leaps in life for me came when I studied acting, when I did a lot of acting class stuff, because you have to start addressing a lot of your own issues that come up. And, you know, it's almost like therapy in a way. But it did. It really, that gave me a big, I think, a boost as far as confidence goes. I just wasn't born with it. I don't come from a kind of self-promoting background. I just am me, you know. That's the only way I really know how to be. And but sometimes that's the hardest thing to do, is to be me,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to sit and be still and know that that's enough. And some people try too hard and try to be something they're not.
Well, I think Hollywood makes it, you know, kind of difficult too,
yeah.
to be yourself. You know, they want you to be an actor.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I hire you to be you, but to act like something else.
Yeah, yeah.
So that you're acting.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Adam.
Oh, let me think. Something else I've kind of been wondering would be, during this interview, you've done a lot of not to name names, or, you know, kind of avoided stuff like that. Did you find that out the hard way? By, like, naming names on your TV show and kind of dissing them on air, and then the next day showing up and, oh, that wasn't good, because, you know, some hot chick comes up to you and's like, yeah, I'm not going to talk to you now. You got any stories there?
Just so you know, everybody, I'm smiling really big right now. You know, I didn't learn that lesson the hard way, but I have seen other people learn that lesson the hard way, and sometimes the best way to learn is kind of standing right next to somebody who gets hit by lightning. But I have seen people kind of go down in flames and put their foot in their mouth and say something they shouldn't have said. It's a very delicate, politically driven industry where, you know, everybody knows everybody, and you got to be careful of what you say, because they'll go back and tell, even in private conversation, not just on television, but if you're at one of these high roller kind of, you know, right. premieres or whatnot, and you're like, the movie. One thing I did learn, this is a good point. I'd come out of a movie when we screen movies in advance for a junket that we have where we interview all the celebrities, and I walked out saying the movie was, I was like, oh my God, that movie's horrible. And I got back to the studio. So then they didn't want me to do the interviews because they thought I wouldn't be a fair interviewer. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, you know. I also have to go into this, you know, interview knowing that just because I don't like it doesn't mean everybody will hate it. So, but yeah, that was probably as close as it got for me.
For those of you that have just tuned in, we are here on location at ET and Entertainment Tonight, and also Paramount Studios, with our special guest Mark Steines. And he's given these kids the best day of their lives from the Cancer Center. And we're also wanting to thank our limo driver here in L.A. that gave us a ride over here to the studios. It's Executive Transportation Services, Nathan. And thanks a lot, Nathan. That was awesome of you.
Did you guys enjoy your limo ride?
It was Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Well, no, that was our limo driver, but Nathan's the owner, and they were just wonderful to us. And if you're ever you're in the L.A. area, give Executive Transportation Services a call. They were just spectacular for us.
So you guys were stars in limos today, weren't you?
And you have a couple more questions? And
yeah, probably. I got a really quick one. Did you get a kick out of the movie Anchorman?
It's funny. I laugh at all of those because I see the humor in what we do. There are some people who take this job a little too seriously, can't see the humor behind it all, but I did laugh. I thought it was brilliant. Will Ferrell is so funny, and he took everything and just cranked it up to level 10 and made a mockery of all of us, but good for him.
What was one of the, this is a real good ending question, what was one of the funnest things that you have done in your career as far as with TV shows and all the different, you know, places you've traveled and they've taken you, and that's, can you think of maybe one or two?
I can think of 100.
Oh,
you don't have enough tape,
not a favorite,
I think, to sit down. Here's what it is. It is, I will just tell you, I won't tell you into detail, but I'll tell you, I've been inside the Great Pyramids in Egypt, where I've seen the kings and queens' chambers and their tombs. I've exhumed mummies there. I've been in the caves in Borneo, covering Survivor, and in the outback and in South Africa on safari for all of it. I have been under the stage with Ricky Martin in the prayer circle seconds before he was lifted to the stage.
Wow.
I have been, you know, I was the first journalist on the mountain when Sonny Bono died in that tragic accident. I was inside the tunnel for Princess Diana. All of these things are part of what, you know, diving with dolphins with Jenna Elfman. All of these things just come to mind when I sit and I think about my life and my career and what I've been able to do. And it's hard to say my favorite, because when I sit and I start thinking about all of them, they all really define, you know, kind of the existence of what I'm here and what I'm doing, and to be able to say I have all these wonderful experiences. And like T said earlier, I'm just blessed. You know, I feel very blessed.
I have a quick question.
Hop in.
A lot of people says I'm good at acting, and a lot of people says I look like the Chinese kid on the Goonies. Is it hard acting?
No. The hard part is you got to be yourself. And if you're okay with being yourself and really, you know, remembering copy and all that stuff isn't difficult. I mean, that's just memorization. But I think here's what happened in my acting school. Dustin Hoffman spoke at graduation one year, and he came out and he brought a chair out in front of the graduating class, and he sat down and he sat in the chair and he sat there and he just said, "Look at me." And he paused. Everybody's sitting there. He goes, "Look at me. Look at me." And he sat there for the longest time, and everybody's looking at him and they're wondering, like, is this all he's going to do? And he kept saying, "Look at me." And then he stopped and he goes, "Get used to that. Because as an actor, people are going to look at you. They're just going to keep looking at you at a restaurant, a movie theater, where you're shopping. You are always being looked at. And if you're not comfortable with it, just being who you are, not feeling that you've got all this attention, you've got to be somebody to impress them, just be yourself."
Are you planning on maybe writing a biography with all of these wonderful adventures and what you've learned and you know, your values? I mean, you're one of the most well-rounded and balanced person, you know, especially in the Hollywood biz, you know. I mean, it's very hard to do that, and you just have a huge heart, and I think you need to write a biography. You need to write a book.
You know what? People have said that to me before. I honestly think I'm probably boring. I really do. I don't know. I look at my life and I say it's very special, but I don't know why anybody would want to read about it. I just get to live it. It's like anybody else, I think. Maybe one day I'll sit down pen and write a book or something, but I really don't know anybody would buy it. Maybe that's my fear. I would sit there at Barnes and Noble and go, well, let's finally get this thing shipped off and put it back in the box.
I'll be your first customer.
Will you? Okay. Great.
See, that's great.
Proud of me.
Thanks, T.
And we have coming up a tour of Paramount Studios that is going to be personally guided by Mark Steines. And we just want to tell you, Mark, thank you so much for everything you've done for the children. Our day hasn't even been halfway over yet, and we're just so excited about everything that's coming up, and we want to thank you so much.
You are so welcome.
You guys?
You're so welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
High fives, so all right. High five. Yeah. Hey, all right.
Thanks so much.
Sure.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.